Fusion News. Welcome to your regular Fusion News update, brought to you by the Fusion Industry Association.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Fusion Industry Association channel. My name is Sid Cowley, I am a PhD student studying at the University of York and working at the Cullum Centre for Fusion Energy. Today is Friday the 3rd of June, happy Jubilee to everyone in the UK, and I'm here to give you your Fusion News update. Stories today include 1. Bottling the sun. The world has been trying to master this limitless clean energy source since the 1930s. We're now closer than ever. 2. Fusion reactors could provide more power than previously thought, study suggests. 3. This government lab in Idaho is researching fusion, the holy grail of clean energy, as billions pour into the space. 4. Robotic snakes could keep Britain's nuclear fusion hopes alive. And as always, there'll be some bonuses at the end as well. 1. Bottling the sun. The world has been trying to master this limitless clean energy source since the 1930s. We're now closer than ever. Our first story is a fantastic piece from CNN covering the state of fusion in general, and in particular, the state of the ITER project. For those of you who are new to our channel or new to fusion in general, I think this is a great article to get stuck into. And that's because first, it covers the fundamentals of fusion and why we want it in the first place. Even quoting the late Professor Stephen Hawking, who said that I would like fusion to become a practical power source. It would be an inexhaustible supply of energy without pollution or global warming. The article then discusses the overall structure and operation of a tokamak, stating how fuel is injected to the machine, the fuel is then confined using strong external magnets, and then the fuel is heated up to hundreds of millions of degrees Celsius, at which point the atoms in the fuel are energetic enough to overcome their repulsion and fuse together, releasing energy. Now, the article also has a great description and some fantastic photos of the ITER project, a tokamak currently under construction in France that's expected to generate 500 megawatts of output energy given 50 megawatts of energy inputted into the fuel. What I love about this article is that it highlights the intense scope and scale of the ITER project, since it's being constructed across 39 different construction sites, and the tokamak, when finished, will weigh the same amount as 3 Eiffel Towers. My favorite fact about this article is that the ITER tokamak has over 10 million different components, and the storage space required just to store the digital design of these components is roughly 2 terabytes. That's roughly equivalent to around 160 million one-page Word documents in digital storage. Finally, the article discusses the great passion and determination of Dr. Bigot, the former ITER Director General, who sadly passed away on the 14th of May. The article quotes Dr. Bigot, who said, "Hydrogen fusion is a million times more efficient than burning up fossil fuels. What we are trying to do here is actually really very much like creating a small artificial sun on Earth. This fusion power plant will be in operation all the time. This sun, so to speak, will never set." 2. Fusion reactors could provide more power than previously thought, study suggests. This second article is from The Independent, but has been featured all over the news over the past week or so, including Live Science, Newsweek, and Physics.org. This news covers a recent paper by Maurizio Giacomin and a team at EPFL in Switzerland, who published the paper in Physical Review Letters. The paper in question revises one of the most important scalings in fusion plasma physics, the so-called Greenwald density scaling. Now, this article gets me quite excited because for plasma physicists like myself, the Greenwald density is one of the most important quantities in our field. And that's because it's the effective limit of the fuel density inside a tokamak. If you try to inject more fuel beyond this, the plasma may terminate or disrupt, which can cause damage to your machine. This density limit is named after Dr. Martin Greenwald, who in 1988 formulated a scaling law between this very important density and certain parameters for a tokamak, such as the size and the current inside the machine. This recent work at EPFL, however, has used a combination of turbulent transport plasma physics and real data from machines such as ASDEX Upgrade, JET, and TCV, to come up with a slightly modified scaling law for this Greenwald density. This new scaling law shows an important relationship between the Greenwald density limit and a tokamak's input power, which is great news for certain high-power machines that are currently being built. In fact, with this modified scaling law, the density limit for ITER is roughly 2 times higher than previously predicted, which may allow ITER to achieve even better performance than previously thought. 3. This government lab in Idaho is researching fusion, the holy grail of clean energy, as billions pour into the space. The next article today comes from CNBC and centers around Dr. Masashi Shimada, a lead fusion scientist at the US government's Idaho National Laboratory. In CNBC's interview, Dr. Shimada discusses how the fusion landscape has changed during his lifetime, saying that early on, fusion was the butt of many jokes, citing the old joke, fusion is the energy of the future and always will be. Now, however, he says that with the advent of the fusion industry that has raised more than $4 billion to date, this landscape of fusion has changed dramatically. Now, Dr. Shimada's group at the Idaho National Lab researches the use of tritium in fusion devices. For context, most attempts at commercial fusion on Earth are proposing to use a fuel mixture of deuterium and tritium, two isotopes of hydrogen. Unlike deuterium, however, which can be abundantly found in seawater, tritium is not naturally occurring and is moderately radioactive. Because of this, tritium represents one of the most significant concerns both in terms of resource management and in terms of safety for nuclear fusion. So the handling and tracking of tritium in our machines is a top priority. And that's exactly what Dr. Shimada's group researches, how tritium can build up in different materials used in fusion reactors, such as tungsten. Because if we understand the buildup of tritium well, then we can implement the correct safety protocols to remove this buildup of tritium where necessary. 4. Robotic snakes could keep Britain's nuclear fusion hopes alive. Our final story comes from The Telegraph in the UK and covers a key piece of robotics research that may be crucial for the operation of fusion devices in the future. More specifically, the story covers a multi-million pound snake-like robot equipped with laser systems capable of performing key repairs inside a tokamak. The reason these robots are being developed by the UK Atomic Energy Authority is because an actual fusion reactor is too harsh of an environment and is too tightly packed for humans or conventional robotics to access. So instead, the idea is to push these snake-like robots through access tubes, and the robots have ultrasound guiding systems which allow them to pinpoint their location and sense their immediate surroundings. Keeping the robotics small means they can access the intricate layers of a tokamak without having to take the whole machine apart for repairs. Now, I love these kind of stories because they show that nuclear fusion research encompasses a wide variety of fields, some of which, like robotics, have incredible potential for applications beyond fusion. Finally, I have a few bonus stories to share with everyone today. The first is a science and technology meeting by the UK government on the subject of nuclear fusion and its role in decarbonizing the UK. The meeting features some leading experts in fusion, such as Professor Ian Chapman, the CEO of the UK Atomic Energy Authority, and Dr. Nick Hawker, CEO of First Light Fusion. I think it's a great forum to hear about these leading experts' opinions on where we are in terms of fusion research and where it's headed. The second story today comes from Canary Media and focuses on Avalanche Energy, a US-based fusion startup and a member of the Fusion Industry Association. The article discusses the unique selling point of Avalanche, which is to develop super small-scale nuclear fusion reactors called Orbitrons, which can fit on top of a desk and would act more like a conventional battery pack than any typical large-scale nuclear power plant. It's a very interesting and radical approach to nuclear fusion, and I really recommend you check it out. Right, well, that's all for Fusion News this week. If you enjoyed, please feel free to leave a like, comment, or subscribe as always. And if you're interested in any of the stories, of course, the descriptions and the links to them will be in the YouTube description below. And if you want to check out any of our stories in more detail, of course, we have the Fusion News Extra podcast where we take deep dives into certain Fusion News stories. Right, that's it. Thank you very much for watching.
You have been listening to Fusion News, brought to you by the Fusion Industry Association.